Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 172. I am the host, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
John Jordan.
Hello.
And James Gilmore.
Hello there.
And I'm the host. I'm not going to say my name because that makes Keith giggle.
The thing you say makes me giggle.
All right.
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that proved the point. Apologies for last week, everyone. We did record it. It was in a Manchester pub.
We did record it,
but Audacity crashed as we finished. So, and then there wasn't any temporary files I could get from it to save the recording. So
technical, boring.
All right, well, whatever. The summary is that we recorded it and it was really good, and then because like at least half of us were quite drunk by that point.
Yeah, half of me certainly was.
Yeah.
Which half?
This is why you should take minutes. Really, it's just in case we lose the file, then you could write it up as a nice article.
I don't know. That would be.
If you're a professional, I think that's what you'd do. But,
yeah. Well, no, actually, if I was professional, because I'm hosting this meeting, I'd get someone to write the minutes up for me, Keith.
You're chairing the board. Yeah.
You'd have like a stenographer who like a court writer with one of those funny machines.
I'm
convinced they don't do anything, those machines. They just sit there and press and press and press and press, but they're not actually really doing anything.
And then when it crashed, they'd have to get actors to play us. That'd be great.
Why don't we get Lauren Taylor to write it up, or whatever she's called?
Lauren Taylor?
What's
that's
her name?
That's Karen's younger. She's like 16, is Lauren.
She's a future intern, isn't she? We'll have her soon.
I beg your pardon. We're not going to have her at any time. Jeez, Keith.
Just move on.
Yeah,
so soon.
We've only just lost Karen to a tragic accident involving a tricycle.
Oh no, I think you might find she was commissioned to write something. I can't remember what it was. But...
No.
Well, recently.
Yeah, I think in the last couple of days. Yeah.
Oh wow, I thought
I'm blown if I can remember what it is though. It's a bit embarrassing.
Last I heard, she was in hospital after suffering massive tricycle burns.
I thought she'd lost an eye in an archery incident. But...
I know that happened quite a few years ago.
But we don't talk about that.
We don't, no.
We need to, but we don't.
She keeps dragging it up, but it's not the time. It's not the time for it. It's not the right time. Apologies about that. But we're here, and it's recording. I can see the file size going up, so hello again. Let's go on to the news. First up on the news this week, I guess, is going to be, it's not very gamey, it's more of a busy story, but Apple has sold a lot of things. And how much have they sold? They have sold, in the last quarter, millions and millions of thingies, including 12 million iPads and 35 million iPhones. That puts total lifetime sales of both devices up to 67 million for iPad and 365 million for iOS devices. iOS devices, that's in total. Okay, fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot. They beat estimates. They generate...
Well, yeah, there's always this thing where they actually... it's kind of well known that Apple lowballs its predictions so it can like, blow them out of the water. So all the analysts then try and go, if Apple's lowballed this, how big do we think it's going to be? But it's absolutely ridiculous. The Apple now as a company is just so uncomparable to anything else. It's making $100,000 a minute or something unbelievable. So
wow.
Seriously, its biggest problem over the next year is going to be what to do with the money it makes. It's making so much money, it's just like a geyser of money. I mean, literally.
It could start by donating some to the UK, considering we're in a recession now.
Well, no, but that, clearly, what the shareholders would potentially get a bit annoyed about that.
UK shareholders are pretty happy.
I know Apple shareholders would prefer it to be a dividend. I mean, it's a serious problem. They've got, they're going to have over $100 billion, even giving money back to their shareholders, and they have to do something with it, really. I mean, your companies just can't sit there with, you know, with $150 billion.
I thought the whole point of making it of a company was to make money. So now, what's the point? What point is it beyond the making money now?
You're making, literally no company has made as much money as quickly as Apple have in the history of finance. I mean, is, you know, the money they have in the bank is worth more than all the other people who are making phones put together. I mean, it is seriously an unbelievable amount of money, and you can't spend it by going into and doing TVs and stuff. I mean, you just can't think what they can do with $100 billion.
They're going to do like the opening credits to DuckTales, and they're going to jump in a big pool of coins.
That would be worth it. that would be worth me starting a company just so I can build my way gradually up and eventually.
I don't want to.
But it's going to smash, though. It's going to hurt, isn't it?
I don't want to be a killjoy here, but diving into money would hurt. You wouldn't get through the first layer of points.
He looks fine on the cartoon.
Actually, Scrooge McDuck did die shortly after the first
No, did not.
He did, but it was from a liver disease.
He accidentally took his eye out in an archery.
Did you not even see that episode? It was sad. It was sat around his chair as he died.
Funnily enough, Disney Club didn't run that episode. No.
No idea what you guys are talking about. Literally no idea.
And then he regretted everything in his life and said, if only I'd been... Anyway, sorry.
Isn't there a point, though, with the whole, like, constantly making these incredible profits, like John says? I was reading something where, doesn't it have to kind of plateau at some point, where you can only keep accelerating like this for so long and then...
Well, no, there's two things. I mean, there's growth. So growth is, we sold, you know, 10 million iPads last year, we're going to sell 11 million this year. So obviously that can kind of, all the analysts now are looking at China, because they're kind of getting to the stage where in kind of the American market, obviously if you have an iPhone now, you can't update every 2 years. But so there's kind of some growth there, but it's kind of like, you know, a bit more kind of controlled. And obviously Europe's going economically going down the swan at the moment. So Europe's not a great market. So they're looking to China, where there's obviously, they can probably sell, they'll probably sell like another, you know, 50 to 100 million devices, probably more. So they're kind of looking to see how, because that will give them growth. But the making money is still, they can still have a business where half, you know, if half the world buys a new iPhone every 2 years, I mean, they're still, you know, they'll be generating just still this vast amount of money. And it's just really odd, because the economy of the world is not good in Western Europe and North America. But still, the iPad seems to be this device that no matter how little money you have, people will somehow get the money to buy it. I mean, it's very odd. It goes against all kind of economics. So it's just this. It's seen as being so kind of useful and productive and desirable. You know, that you're almost like, you can imagine people spending, you know, that's the one present they have during the year for Christmas, birthdays, and everything rolled into one. Then
that's kind of reminds you, like, people. Lots of people have PCs now.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, there is the argument about whether you are now seeing a kind of maybe 15-year-olds that who have used like home PCs, and if they want something, they don't get a netbook now, they'll get an iPad because it's pretty much what they need. Yeah. You know, so you are getting there is that argument that, yeah, obviously the PC industry is have many $100 billion worth. So there's that kind of displacement idea. But yeah, I mean, those Apple numbers are just absolutely off the scale.
And of course, I'm sure Sony are looking on enviously, actually, considering PS Vita, thinking we can't get anyone to buy these things yet. Everyone is paying out even more for iPad over and over again.
Well, I mean, the clever thing with Apple has not been that they make great devices, because, I mean, they've made the app, you know, Macs have always been great, but most people haven't liked them because they've always been like a niche thing you had to learn.
To be fair, my MacBook Pro overheated within a year. Well, no, yeah, actually, just over a year. That was in 2003, though.
The thing that they did very well is, and it's always been the Jobs thing, is to build, you know, it's like a vertical silo. So as soon as you had iTunes, you know, as we discussed before, it becomes impossible pretty much to buy another MP3 player, you know. And so, and because they got in so quickly on in America to bring the, you know, first smartphone people had, they went from a Motorola Razr to an iPhone. And then as soon as you're in an iPhone, you know, Nokia and Microsoft can say you can win all the awards for the UI of Windows Phone, which just people aren't going to even bother checking out. I mean, so you have a generation now that's pretty much locked into a couple of Apple devices. And it'd be the interesting next thing will be to see whether they can roll that over into something like a TV.
I think actually, funny enough, the bigger the app stores get, the less of an issue that is, because I think people were initially incredibly attached to all the apps and music they'd bought, and obviously now a lot of the protection has gone on the music. It's not so much an issue that you can't have another.
It's not as much, but I think iTunes.
It's been dissolved. But I think funny enough, as more and more apps people have, and it's almost a bit like the freemium argument. The more you have, actually, the less you miss them if you lose them, because you kind of forget how many you've got. And obviously all the other marketplaces now, they're not catching up necessarily, but they've all got enough to be valid. So I'm not sure. I think that is becoming less of a trap. That's something.
I think you're right. It's becoming less of a technical issue, but I think emotionally now that a lot of people have just grown up and they're, an Apple for them is now the cool brand. I think the TV may come out and not be a success, but I don't think Apple's not going to lose its brand identity in the way that Sony does.
I think
that the Apple brand is for the next 10 years at least. It's kind of hard to see.
They could be selling a quarter of what they're selling now and still have the same brand power.
And that's really weird because, as we've discussed before, literally everyone now has an iPhone. So, an iPhone, it's almost like if you don't have an iPhone now, it's almost because you don't want one kind of thing.
I think the only thing that risks, and this is still some way off, risks undermining all of it is whether web apps take off, because that will revolutionise it, because the App Store will become nullified.
I think it's the device. I think people just like...
I think that would literally... I mean, it would still be an incredibly desirable device, but that little barrier that stops a lot of people leaving, I think. There are a lot of people I've heard that have said, oh, I'd like to try out this phone, I'd like to try out that phone, but... I think if that barrier is broken, where you're no longer tied to the App Store and it is to be all and end all, where you can get apps that run identically across all three via browsers, then the gates can kind of open and the others will pick up a little traction for that. But it's still a fair while. Everyone's been saying that for years now. It's still a fair while off, evidently, because it's not happening. So.
Can I just jump in here and say that it's quite a good... No, you've spent 15 minutes talking about this. I want to move on.
Yeah, move on.
All right.
It's always the same.
But I just wanted to link to... I haven't written this one down, I don't think, but link to Samsung's efforts at the moment in Australia. Talking of, people being locked in and buying iPhones, they've decided... I don't know what's up with Samsung. Their current advertising campaign... is basically to say, to insult everyone who has an iPhone. And that will somehow make them all go, you know what? Being called a bit of a dick actually makes you want to buy a Samsung.
I don't like that ad, but I don't think that's quite what it's doing. I think it's more appealing to an audience that Samsung already has.
Yeah, precisely.
In that it's people who don't want an iPhone. It's saying, look at these idiots.
The weird thing is, though, that they've been posting, they posted a video up in which they hired a marketing agency to stand outside an Apple store in Australia and hold up placards saying wake up, full stop. And it's supposedly because all those people are just sleepwalking into disaster by walking into an Apple shop.
Never acknowledge the competition.
So bizarre, isn't it?
Never acknowledge the competition.
But I mean, to be fair, though, you are right. It does seem to be just aimed at appealing to people who would get a Samsung anyway, because I had a look at the comments on the Android and Me who were the source for where we got the story from. And some people on there were just going, if only the Apple sheep will understand how great the Samsung phones are. I cannot believe how deluded they are following one brand mindlessly. I will always get the next Samsung. I was sitting there reading this comment thinking, Are you a two-legged irony machine or something? Do you understand what you're saying?
I think there's still some value in that, because there is this mini battle between them and I think only HTC now, really, as to who is if you are an Android fan, which is your default brand. So I think Samsung has largely won, and doing stunts like that, I think, kind of helps cement that. But in terms of actually doing anything to Apple, it does nothing, and it kind of works against them, because you're only saying look at what we're not, and you're putting Apple in the minds of people anyway just by acknowledging that kind of stunt.
Also, I can't imagine that many people, even like outside of the Samsung acolytes, I guess, using the same word at the Samsung, but I can't imagine too many people there would outside of it would think that going up to one of your competitors' shops and putting slightly pretentious signs all over it is considered good form.
No.
Well, but, I mean, that's the problem they face, is that they're fighting two wars. They're fighting their own, they're fighting against Apple, and they're fighting their own war in their own little ecosystem, huge ecosystem, all the other Android manufacturers. So they've kind of got two fronts to fight on, which does make it difficult.
Anyway, let's move back onto the script. Sorry about that, guys. I went off the auto cue. Right.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes.
Yes. Haha, laughter, audience applause. WWDC dates have been announced, keeping on Apple corporate news. Boom, 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 boom. Yes, Apple has announced that the annual Worldwide Developers Conference will take place in San Francisco on June the 11th to the 15th.
Which is what everyone expected anyway.
Yeah, which is expected. The big thing is that they can't wait to share the news about iOS and OS X Mountain Lion. Let's skip the last bit of that because we don't care about OS X Mountain Lion. I don't know. Does anyone care about OS X Mountain Lion here?
Nope.
Okay. So, yeah, iOS. So, of course, the speculation is building. It's a new version of iOS is going to be revealed. That's iOS 6 or iOS 5.5?
5.5? 6, isn't it?
I
would think 6.
I'd also like to point out that I believe Keith said that he believed the fact that they might reveal a new iPhone in June.
It's going to be June, I'm telling you.
At WWDC, they didn't say anything about iPhone, they said iOS.
It's going to be June.
Bet you it is.
Why do you think it's in June?
Because I think they want to get back onto that routine of having it in June. I think that, you know, the iOS 4S launch was slip, wasn't it? And I think they'd rather have it in the summer. So
I reckon the opposite. I reckon that now they've had the 4S slip, that they want to keep now this as the new routine, which is why. Because last year's WWDC, they revealed information about iOS, the next coming iOS version. And I can imagine they're going to do exactly the same on this one, and then in the autumn, bam, here's your iPhone 5. It's shaped like a lion.
Be surprised. I think they'll both be at the same time. I really do.
Well,
got a feeling.
Right.
I mean my feelings.
Oh, wait, hang on. That's one. So, yes, that's what is happening on June 11th. The tickets have already sold out.
Yeah.
Tickets cost. How much did they cost, John?
$2,000 or something.
Yeah, $1,599.
But the really weird thing is that they don't sell that many tickets anyway, and they do it as like a first come first serve thing. So depending on, you know, if you're in the dentist's that on the day they announce it, you can't book in advance. You can't, you know. And the really weird thing was, obviously Apple are based on the west coast of America, which is 8 hours behind us, and obviously 3 hours even behind US time. And they announced it pretty much kind of lunchtime UK time, so everyone in California was asleep. So the thing sold out as it always does in about 4 hours. So a whole bunch of the Californian people who have all been Apple fanboys for ages, just like, well, we couldn't get on because all the Europeans had bought all the tickets. It just seems really odd that they don't have some sort of more structured system into like, you know, like a pre-bid or a. One of the guys who from Nimblebit, who, like, you know, generally reckoned to be certainly one of our biz top 10 developers of the year. They've done, you know, like Tiny Tower and Pocket Frog, and got this new one, Pocket Planes, coming out. They're just like, oh yeah, we didn't get one. And everyone's like, what? How come you didn't get one? You're like one of the most successful, best known developers on iOS. And they're like, well, we were asleep. We missed the time. You just kind of think that's not right, is it? It's kind of like they've got to have some way of moderating it. To just, you know, like they do with the Olympic tickets, you can kind of put pre-bids in or something, or, you know, it just seems a very crazy way of running it.
Why do so many people want to be there?
Well, because you actually, it's one of the few times you can actually get to talk to Apple engineers. So they have all these talks, which, like any conference, some are interesting, some are not. They tend to be pretty technical, but they also have a lot of hands-on. So they have 1,000 engineers there, you know, literally for you know, 8 hours a day over the 5 days doing hands-on. So anything to optimizing your code to use this server or how to use Game Center or, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously a lot of it is not to do with games particularly, but it's really good. You know, people get a lot of advice, and just people obviously just like to meet people at Apple, because this is any time of the year really where Apple kind of open up and developers can meet them. So it's seen as that's the main reason people want to go, not because a lot of the information is made available on the Apple developer site anyway. So it's more like meeting people.
But I'll just go down and talk to those genius guys because they're really clever.
Oh yeah, that'd be right.
It's right there in the name, isn't it? It does seem kind of steep. Even, I mean, like for the money, I mean, 5 days, I suppose, is, you know, plenty of time to recover it. But like $1,600, I mean, I assume the idea, if they put it up in the morning and everyone's asleep, they assume if you've got $1,600 to spend on a ticket to a show, you have someone to, you pay someone to stay awake and book it for you while you sun yourself somewhere.
Well, there were people on Twitter saying, oh, can anyone create a device that will always be on and alert me as soon as it... And I think that there was an app that did it, apparently, but the app may have just been a person who stayed awake and then... you know, I don't know. But I think you're completely right, James, that when it started out, like, it's been going for years and years and years, then obviously Apple wasn't cool, so no one went to it. Mm. You know, and then suddenly as Apple's gone through the roof, they just can't have the capacity to fit everyone in. So it becomes a bit of a scrum anyway.
Well, to be fair though, they may price it so high, but if it's sold out in hours, then it's priced too low technically.
Yes.
It may be demand. High That's to good. Us lot, but I mean, you know, they could probably get away with $2,000 and still be sold out within a few hours. So.
Sell out $3,000. Let me just.
Yeah, but anyway, we're giving them ideas. We shouldn't be doing that.
Fleece us more.
Oh no!
Although, considering their large amount of money, maybe they should make it free and a complete lottery. That would be my view. Get rid of some of that money.
No, the whole point of a company is to make more money, John.
No, but we've just had this discussion about how actually
I know.
The big problem for Apple is.
I know, we've already been through it. I just think it's funny. It's like one of those moral decisions, like, you know, like going through economics classes. It was like, oh, you know, well, it's supply and demand. You've always got to have, you know, the curve, the black grey market, etc. curve, and you've got to make money and all this. And then finding out the company has got to the point where they can't really. Yes. There's no point anymore.
They've broken economics.
It's kind of like, what is the next step then? anyway, so yes, moving on from Apple, but keeping on a similar sort of theme. We're going to keep on a hardware theme this time for the news. I don't think we're going to be able to fit in everything. You see, I was Valve. Yeah, you know Valve. Mm. Much loved PC company who run Steam, which is the PC's main. Distribution portal for games, really. Gabe Newell, co-founder of the company, has said that they are looking into an open hardware solution in both the living room and mobile spaces. We're looking hard at both the living room space and the mobile space to try and see if we can create open hardware platforms that the industry can use so we can get out of the proprietary traps that we're headed in both of those. So, yes. Yeah. So, obviously, a slight dig at Xbox, PS3, and indeed... iOS, because it's a closed platform.
Although, to be honest, Valve have never done much on consoles, have they? They've done it when they've had hits. I wonder how much development they've done themselves. They've always been PC. I mean, you know, Gabe used to work for Microsoft. Well, the two guys who founded it were Microsoft employees. So.
Yeah.
It's always been their way, PC.
Microsoft have also made the Xbox, though. You're kind of...
Yes, well, he left. Actually, Gabe Newell was employee number 31 in Microsoft.
Really?
So he was... They basically founded him and the other guy, Michael or something or other. They basically founded Valve off their stock options, which would have been worth millions and millions of pounds.
He is one of the richest men at the moment, isn't he?
I think. Well,
I remember hearing that.
Comparable to who?
Well, as in like richest men. As in he's got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank or in sort of assets.
I don't know. I mean, the company of the worth of Valve would mean that his kind of what they call, you know, kind of paper, kind of, or his not paper. You know, I don't think he'd have millions of dollars in hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, but obviously he's kind of
the
his
weird
kind of,
thing about his, this though for not, me is that yeah. Steam's a closed platform, so why open hardware platform seems completely against what Valve has done previously on the PC, because I mean. Technically, yes, Steam runs on lots of different hardwares, so I guess that's open hardware. But as a system itself, it's all very closed. It's curated very, very closely. It's essentially an app store that runs across... It's basically the equivalent of the Android market.
So. Well, I guess what he's saying is...
Obviously.
He's saying that no one can tell Valve what to do with it, I guess. So at that level, everything's closed kind of to a degree, isn't it? Well, anyway...
Well, yeah, except unless you're a Linux fan. Yeah. But even then, it's closed because you have to get to certain distribution packages. And then, of course, but you don't do that if you're real. Anyway, so let's not go into the Linux thing where people go mental. But yeah, so yes.
I mean, but I think this whole thing.
It would be an interesting thing if they do go into it, though.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of think he's somewhat of, you know, I think he can be a bit of a joker. And I think he's someone who. He knows anything he says just gets zoomed around the world. So, and I'm sure to a degree, you know, I'm not sure he's not lying, but when he says we're looking at something, I mean, it's like the whole thing that came up a couple of weeks ago when Michael Abrash was saying, I'm looking at wearable computing stuff. And I'm sure he is. But, you know, it's literally you saying, this is not that we're going to announce at E3, we've got some glasses or a T-shirt that you can wear, you know, wear with a computer in it. I mean, this is just them, these very rich guys now who can just go, well, I'm kind of interested in this stuff, you know.
Well, remember, the biggest joke, I think, and one of the funniest, in my opinion, is the whole idea of having a Half-Life 3.
Yeah, that one still has me in stitches, yeah.
It's every time it cracks me up.
Was it Ricochet 2?
Yeah, recently they did a press release saying that Ricochet 2 is going to be the biggest, and they're working on Ricochet 2. But it's hilarious. Also, their leaks, their handbook, they're obviously deliberate. It's pretty deliberate.
I bet they did.
And it was a good PR move, because I mean the handbook's very, very positive in terms of like how people look at it. It's sort of like, this, we're not a normal company, we're kind of fun loving and ideas are great, and you're an individual, you know, that's kind of great for a company to have that, and then suddenly go, we leaked it.
So you thought they were making that up?
No, I can imagine that's their real handbook, but then they confirmed it, in fact. But it's just that, yeah. I think that it was probably leaked deliberately.
I visited Valve a long time ago, and that was exactly how it was. I mean, it was the only company I've ever heard of where people who kind of applied for a job. I mean, you didn't really apply for a job there, but
the main reason why I mention it is because in their handbook they go on about how Ricochet has never been fully appreciated by the games industry, etc. as like a joking sort of aside, and then all of a sudden a few days later you get this coded PR release which is almost certainly about Half-Life 3, where it goes on about Ricochet 2 and how everyone's waiting. So that's why I think it was a deliberate leak, because, I mean, it was just a primer, really, for... You know how Valve are? They do this sort of stuff all the time. It's a kind of like, you know,
developing a narrative thing.
Putting a bit of a meta game, behind what they're doing, which is... I mean, it's quite fun, that's what they do, but, yeah. So there we go, that's my reasoning behind it. No one else has jumped to that conclusion, so that's an exclusive. An exclusive madman's frenzied thoughts captured in audio.
I'd quite like to see them do this, or something like this anyway. The ideas of... I think it was when I went to Eurogamer last year, Eurogamer conference. Of all the stuff I saw at Eurogamer, which was, saw the various new games and played bits and bobs, and that was grand. But before I actually went, I tried OnLive, the subscription service. I used it through the PC. I realized you could download the app for the PC or for your phone now or whatever.
Not on an iPhone.
But the fact that it actually worked, that you booted it up and went, all right, I'll play Batman, any of the Batman games, Arkham Asylum or something, and just sort of press start, and it worked in the same way as when you boot up Spotify and you're kind of frozen by the choice. You know that thing where you first time you boot up Spotify, you're like, wow, I've got all the songs in the world at my fingertips. And then you sit there and go, and you look at your own CD collection and type one in, you go, I've already got that, why am I doing that? But the idea that you can just like sort of access it from anywhere and do anything is very kind of beneficial. And although I have a couple of consoles, and obviously your iPhone is tied into iTunes, and you can't use it on any other device, the idea of being able to have something that will be easily accessible on the various different hardwares, like you say, kind of how Steam sort of is already. It's proprietary, but you can use it on different computers and hardware bits. It would be nice if there was something that you could use either in the, if they're talking about using it in the lounge or in the home or anything like that, where you can quite easily gain access to games through all the different platforms
at the same time. That's what Keith was getting at earlier with the web apps, because that would be one area that could possibly happen.
Like
decentralize
it.
That's almost like that's like a utopian future you people have described. Quickly before we move on from the news, because we've been on for quite a while. Shall we do an iPhone rumor? I can't be bossed of it. Who's the source for the iPhone?
What about the fourth one? That's
new. Yeah, I'm about to check. No, Digitimes is the source. Let's skip that. Fourth one is that Gameloft has announced Nova 3, or Nova 3, if you want to pronounce the word properly. I have seen it, but I can't talk about it yet because I'm under embargo, and the embargo doesn't lift when this podcast goes out. So,
okay. Well, I wrote the news story. So,
well, yeah, we can talk about what's in the trailer.
Yeah, but the trailer's nothing to do with it, is it? The trailer's just, what's his face, falling to Earth or not?
Carl Warden. But, voice like this, man with voice. That's what they say when the voice actors go into the studio. Could you be the man with the voice, the soldier guy?
One man against all the odds. One man against all the odds.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. It's either him or it's Nolan North. Those are your only two options.
Oh, yeah, with the sort of cheeky chappy rogue.
Wisecracking. So charming. Shut up.
So what we know about Nova 3, well, what do you guys know? Because I'm afraid of breaking an embargo. Yeah,
we know all they've done is they've released a trailer video, which doesn't show any footage, and they've released a big kind of render.
Say gameplay footage in the video, which is kind of hilarious, because it's not.
Well, I think is it not meant to be the quality of?
I don't know, one of our commentators has jumped in. Let me find the quote so I can give a shout out.
It says actual in-game footage.
Yeah, T-Weasel.
I guess he means it's using geometry or something, doesn't he? Probably or something.
Yeah, but he's right. I mean, that's not what actual gameplay should be. It's sort of it's in-game engine footage, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, but obviously, I love the fact that even the character design has adjusted very, very subtly so that it looks almost identical to Crysis's. Nano suit.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say no. I mean, that's not entirely fair. It doesn't look anything identical to it. But if you obviously you can see that's been the inspiration. So the armor's not like bulky armor. The armor's like body.
Well, yeah. No, I'm telling you now though. The helmet is identical. Like the actual design of the helmet, like the way that the eyes, the sort of eye thing. If you look at the freeze frame of the video, you can see the eye thing's got that sort of like, almost sort of film-like feel to it. Like not film as in like celluloid, but you know, a film as in a thin film. But that's exactly what the design of the Crysis suit is. It's sort of like meant to be a nano thing. And I can't say anything, but there's certain elements in the game that I will talk about next week. And you'll see a preview go up on Monday that are so lifted from Crysis that I'm surprised that Crytek aren't going to sue. They won't. But it's just like, it's quite hilarious.
Microsoft didn't sue over Halo, did they? So.
No. But I can't say anything more. I'm going to get in trouble if I...
Well, I guess the only other thing we can say is it's going to be, because Game of Thrones said this about all their games anyway, it's going to have in-app purchases, and they've said it's not going to be freemium, so it's obviously going to be like, it's going to be a paid download with free in-app purchases. Hmm. Again, that's something that some people have, some of the usual kind of Game Loft hardcore fans have found.
I'm very angry about that for some reason.
But yeah. Modern Combat 3 uses that same...
Oh, no, yeah, no, exactly, no, but...
They're already resigned not to buying Game Loft games again, but they just decided to make it clear again when this news came out, judging by Twitter. Can I just say as well that Nova logo is just awful. It's just, they have no taste at Game Loft. It's just tack. Anyway, carry on.
Okay. Well, thankfully I didn't step in anything problematic there. But of course the new weapons are... Let's move straight on to what we've been playing. No, not what we've been playing. Let's go to the new releases. What?
It's all gone to pot.
This week on the new releases, we're escaping from the age of frenzied pop, spell swords, and juices. No, wait, let me try that again. This week on the new releases, we're having frenzied pop as we're escaping from spell swords, AB Skeeman, and ballistics.
Skeeman?
Yeah, Skeeman, they're people who ski.
Skeeman.
That is unfortunate.
Look, Skeeman is probably a real word.
probably been copyrighted, I think.
Has it?
Well, in that game, it's a game called Skeeman. I'm sure they copyright it.
It's not called Skeeman. It's called Ski Safari. We're going to talk about that in a second. But I was going to say skiers. I just got confused because I saw a man.
I don't say what you saw.
Anyway, so I'll probably cut out that Skeeman one.
No, go to an
earlier one. So yes, this week, first up on the new. Ooh, what's that? It's the new bus. Oh, it's 30 minutes late, it must be, from Cambridge. It's
covered in Skeeman.
It's covered in Skeeman. They're all going out to the Alps. Right. Okay. So what's in the bus? Let's step on board. Right, sitting in the front seat, in the iPhone and iPad section. It's all a bit segregated here. I'm a little bit uneasy about being on this bus. The Frenzy Pop, by S.A. Zahir. Oh, it's an indie game. Let's have a look. Is it any good?
Mad platforming thing where you appear to be soda, very fast moving.
Ah, it's one of those.
Morphic soda.
It's one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like one of those classic.
Looks like Zool. Remember Zool?
A bit. Yeah, it looks a bit like Zool. There's not enough Chupa Chumps.
No.
Is he a bottle of pop?
Yeah. He's sending out a good message to children. He's saying, like, don't worry. Your bottles of soda will run away from you if you try and drink it. So you've got to drink as many as you can, kids. Oh, it's got a cameo from Cheese Man.
Oh.
Cheese Man. Yeah, 45 levels. There's 3 unique worlds. There's lots of spikes. There's lots of collapsing platformers. Platforms. And you can get it for the iPhone 4. If it's not 69p. It is 69p.
And I thought we were saying you can get it for the iPhone 4.
You can get it for the iPhone 4.
Only.
But both of them, iPhone and iPad, you can get for 69p. But they're separate versions, not universal.
Oh, no.
Also out this week is Escape from the Age of Monsters by Iopa Games.
It's actually by Big Massive Joe Studios.
Oh, is it really?
They're the developer, yeah.
Massive Joe. Oh, okay. Publishing, yeah. So, yes. What is it, though?
It's well, there was a game called... Is it called Age of Monsters? Which is a PSN game. I can't remember, like a different genre, Tower Defense or something. And this is a 2D side-scrolling kind of rhythm game. So basically, the thing about it is the artwork's amazing. It's really, really kind of angular, kind of crazy. Almost, I mean, it's kind of like anyway, crazy. It's crazy art. I can't remember what he did. He did some of the Batman cartoons. The guy did it, I think. So you've got these crazy monsters, and basically you're running. It's a side-scroller 2D. You're running across the screen, and you've got these big kind of like bionic fists, and it's very, really, really simple. So anything that's blue in front of you, you bash the right side of the screen. Anything that's red, so normally they're walls, and then when you get to them, you bash the side of the screen to smash them up. And so you're running away from these monsters, and then you have these little orphan cute kids running behind you who keep looking because the monsters are getting closer. And then if you miss a wall, like the monster comes and eats one of your little orphans. So basically, you just keep going, and you got to get power ups. Gameplay wise, it sounds a bit kind of dull, but just the presentation is amazing. The artwork's great. They got the music's from this half Japanese, half American rock band called the Bings or something. And so they kind of come on as cartoon characters because the two Japanese sisters are the bassist and the guitarist. So they're crazy. And then they have stuff like when you play more of it, you see kind of weird things like a kind of there's a version of the Angry Birds, but this Angry Bird monster that's been, I don't know, it's like 16 foot kind of high, and it's got a little bit kind of deranged, and so it's kind of a fun kind of a bit kind of like presentation over gameplay maybe, but it's certainly an interesting experience. I think it's quite cheap. I think it's just 99p. So, yeah,
99 cents, 69p.
99, yeah, that's the one that's offered.
You're always talking in dollars these days, John. I'm a little bit concerned.
That's it's the world currency. I mean,
not in my world. Right, so what else is coming out? Spellsword has just been released, and it is a retro-inspired survival game. 60 missions, endless arenas, RPG elements such as upgrades, and yes, it's pixel art. Is it? Let's have a check. Pixel art, kind of, yeah. Yeah, looks a bit like a sort of... I don't know, it's one of those one-screen slashers, really, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Music sounds interesting.
If I put on the music, you might be able to hear it. Can you hear that?
I've got the music on.
I can't hear it.
All right, good. I remember on my previous setup, you could hear the music because it came through my speakers. So, but anyway, that is out now as a universal app for 69p.
The music just cut out as you spoke. It sounded very professional. Sorry, that amused me.
Are you saying I don't sound professional normally?
No, it was just very good timing. The music went out and there you were.
All right. Also out this week from Bulky Pix this time and Pixel Ratio is Abby Escape.
I guess.
Mm. It's got a kind of annoying teaser trailer.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, that's his tail. I wonder what that was.
But actually, it's a sort of attractive-looking 3D run-em-up in a way, where you dodge from... It's like one of those LCD games where you dodge obstacles coming at you. But it's nicely presented, obviously. With, like, slow-mo kicking in when you're just about to narrowly miss someone chasing you. I don't even know what an Abby is, or... Oh, it's a character. Raccoon. It's a clumsy raccoon.
Abby the clumsy raccoon?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Of course. Cool. It makes sense, because you'd call a raccoon Abby.
Yeah. I'm watching it. Oh, yeah, you kind of... Yeah. You dodge left and right. It looks... 3D looks nice.
Yeah,
if you're watching the video I'm watching.
Like Temple Run, but better, says a reviewer on the the British App Store. Careful. Yeah, I know. It doesn't look too bad, to be fair.
It just looks smooth.
Smooth. Smooth. Or just smooth.
Smooth jazz, smooth, yeah. Mm,
nice. That is free. So it is going for the Temple Run area.
For free?
Yeah.
What's matter with people?
I don't know. People just want everything for free these days. But you won't be getting Ski Safari for free because it's 69p. It's also our next game. You take the role of a man named Sven.
He's a ski man.
Skiman Sven. and he's asleep. although he's asleep at the start, it seems. So yes, it's an avoid the avalanche game. This kind of reminds me a little bit of Gravity. Was it Super Hookshot, but without the hooking? So is this basically a game that is like Slopski, or am I looking at it wrong?
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of Daley Thompson's Super Test. Do you remember there was that skiing bit? Anyone who had a ZX Spectrum?
I didn't get the Daley. What, Daley Thompson skiing? He wasn't even a skier.
So it was part of the same package. I had like all the sports games on the same tape. So I think it was Daley Thompson, but it was one of those the Winter Olympic things that had them all in the same package. And they had one of those ski games where I would consistently crash because you had to press the space bar at the right time to take off. It was like a very, very pretty version.
It was
of
an Epics Winter Games. I had one. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, though, he spills his food all the time, so he gets covered in skiing stains.
All right, moving on.
That's horrible. Pretty rubbish.
I can't believe you cracked that. That's awful. Get back to your room, young man, and think about what you just said.
That's not making it through.
Deuce 'em Up 2 is out this week as well. I downloaded Deuce 'em Up because I wanted to check it out, and then I never got around to it, which is a bit annoying. Apologies to the developer for that. But Deuce 'em Up 2 is the sequel already because the original only came out. No, wait, hang on, look. It's free to play. Oh, it's a free to play version of Fruit Juice Tycoon 2. So I wondered why it was so quick.
Sounds familiar.
So what's the difference?
I've played this. It doesn't look anything like it.
It doesn't look anything like it, does it?
Well, not from those screenshots, although I do remember I remember you have to go to different stalls on a map, so maybe they're just showing the map parts there for some reason.
I wouldn't put it past them. You have to match, it's a match 3 game, Deuce 'em Up 2.
But yeah, it's kind of match 3 meets time management.
Yeah.
One very good.
Okay, so that's free. Ballistic SE is out this week as well, that's Radeon Games, who are the makers of Super Crossfire, which you remember got a silver award a few months ago. But this one isn't published by Chillinga. This is self-published.
This one looked quite good, didn't it?
It does look good, yeah. It looks like a nice, really nice neon twin-stick shooter.
It's kind of interesting because they seem to be really overplaying, as you were doing this, kind of the special effects. So you can just like really overload all the weapons you've got. They say it's a twin stick shooter you can play with one thumb, which surely means it's not a twin stick shooter.
Well, they have that as well. And is it Beat Hazard Ultra, the one that uses your music to kind of change the weapons? Yeah. Like that. There's a one stick mode in that as well, if you're feeling a bit, you know, like lazy or doing other things. But this one does look pretty. Well, I don't know. One stick, and you can be, you know, flipping pancakes or, I don't know, stroking animals or. I don't know what one does with one's other hand when one's playing a single stick shooter.
It is very nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I like the font.
£1.49 is the price of that one. It does look good. So
they play while stroking animals. That's what I say.
Exactly.
Talking of animals, Canon Cat is out this week as well, from Lockhart. You have to fire a cat between cannons to rescue a skyfish who's been imprisoned in bubbles by the venomous evil emu.
This sounds convoluted.
when you listen to descriptions like that, you realise how nutty this job is, really, don't you?
The emu is in like a floating robot machine.
Of course it is.
Canon Cat wears a helmet.
Hank Hazard, it reminds me of now. I'm thinking Hank Hazard.
Yeah, it's a bit like it, isn't it?
Yeah, firing a little hamster in this case, Evil Knievel hamster. But, yeah.
There's been a few of those games. I'm sure there's been another game where you fired. It wasn't hamster, it was something else. There's been quite a lot of those.
I once played a pinball table where you fire by timing your flip to the cannon fire.
Okay.
Anyway, Canon Cat, that's free. And it's out now.
There's been quite a lot of other ones that we've missed on this list. There's one vs. Capcom 2.
Well, yeah, that didn't come out midweek, though. That came out just before. So, okay, well, we'll mention that. Marvel vs. I mean, it's a big game. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is out this week as well, which everyone will know. Everyone will know, like you, Keith. You know about it. Why don't you tell us about it?
I hate Marvel and Capcom, so yeah.
But it's a very well-celebrated 2D fighting game from the PS2 era, I think.
PS2?
It's quite hard to know of these 2D ones, because the artwork's really good, and the subsequent Marvel vs. Capcom game, if I'm remembering rightly, I haven't looked up Wikipedia or anything for this, but they all kind of look similar because the artwork is pretty much, you know, it's pristine 2D stuff. So I think it's PS2 era.
Something's telling me Dreamcast, but maybe not.
Well, that would be the same
era, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's 56 fighters, I believe, is the roster. It's a huge roster, and it's 3v3 tag team fighting with characters such as Jill Sandwich from, that's a full name, from Resident Evil, fighting up against people like Mr. Iron Man. Well, that's his proper name as well.
Mr. Tony Iron Man.
His secret identity was rubbish.
Yeah. Man, but yeah, I know there were concerns. I speak from a position of huge, influence here because I haven't played it. But it's really, really fast. Like I remember from back the day, a very, very, very fast pace. And I understand there have been concerns about how that's been translated onto the touchscreen, you know, floating controls. And I've heard mixed things. They haven't actually played it.
No, but I know they've made the special powers so that it's a button which you swipe up or down or left or right to activate the certain powers that you have, rather than go for button combos.
Which reminds me of...
Not what you want, is it?
No, there's something they did on Soul Blade back on PS1 where you could assign the special move combos, you just assign them to the shoulder button. So instead of having to actually use any, you know, skill or memory, you just go boop and it executes all the special moves, which was a bit rubbish, really. So...
But on the flip side, you do get one of the most revered. You see, this is the problem. None of us really know that. But it's meant to be very revered. I'm not a big 2D fighting fan, so I can't really.
They're all the same, though. So.
They're not all the same. I just find
it's not the same to me.
This is what Keith says about every game. He doesn't like it.
It's all the same.
But football games, you're talking about football games, you're just going to every minor detail about what you can do with, that was FIFA, that was mid-season FIFA 2009, that was the update.
Don't give me any ideas, mid-season FIFA, they'll start doing it, and I'll buy it.
You didn't buy FIFA 12, though. And then what? I gave up on you when I traded my copy in.
It's not started. Oh, well.
Which FIFA, no, I'm not buying FIFA 12, no.
Well, anyway, so we're not big 2D fighting avocados, but avocados, aficionados. I got a little bit confused with my vegetables.
You're right, though. I'm not a big.
You're not a 2D fighting avocado. Okay, yeah, aficionados.
That's the 57th character they cut out.
Yeah, so Marvel vs. Capcom is out now. I think it's $2.99. I might be wrong, but it's on special offer for a limited time, if I remember.
It is $2.99 at the moment. Yeah. What? It's dollars. What's the matter with you?
Still laughing at avocados.
So, yeah, I probably will. There's two more. Will we quickly go through?
Which ones are they?
There's a Scarface. There's another Scarface.
Oh, that's new. Yeah. You pointed this out. There's a new Scarface game out, which has replaced the older one.
Well, it's completely different. The other one was Scarface Last Chance, I think, which came out in 2010.
I think you were right before.
Which I reviewed it, which was kind of... I mean, yeah, a lot of people didn't like it. So basically, it was just the last scene of Scarface where he's in his mansion and the people are coming up the stairs. So basically, it was a bit it was on rails, effectively. So, but you had different positions. You had maybe six or seven different positions you had to go to and waves of people would come from that position. And then you'd end up standing at the top of the stairs, just kind of shooting them. And then you went through the waves. So I thought it was kind of an interesting way of dealing with it. Obviously, people wanted to play Scarface, so it didn't review terribly. I don't think it's sold well. Anyway, obviously, the license has run out of time, so that's been pulled. And a new game's coming, just called Scarface, which is a kind of top-downy, isometric-looking third-person game. I've not actually played it yet, because it was on the App Store for 99 cents, but now apparently it's free, so I think they're just updating at the moment. It looks like it's an in-app purchase-heavy kind of game, so... Mm. We can't really say anything about that game because we haven't played it. But
what's the other one?
And the other one is, I can never pronounce it. It is Inotia.
Inotia.
Which is that come to us? Is it, or is that game?
It is. Yeah, no, it's come to us. I think.
Come to us. So it's there. I have to confess, I get very confused with all these action RPG grindy type things.
You mean Korean RPGs? KRPGs.
KRPGs, yes.
Krupp.
So anyway, so that one's come out, and it's, the interesting thing is, obviously I'm not playing it, the interesting thing is it's come out in two versions. It's come out in a plus version at $299, or it's come out at just a standard...
Is this Inotia 4?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So obviously they're looking, and obviously Koreans are quite into, have got a lot of experience with freemium, so obviously they're... I'm not quite sure what the difference between the free one is. I guess it probably has ads in it. Let's have a quick look.
Well, while John's doing that,
free version. Oh, gem. Okay. So the only difference is if you buy the paid one, you get a 100 gem bonus. So effectively, you're just starting with some currency. Whereas if you get the free one, it's the full game, but you don't get the currency. So.
All right. Well, thanks for that, John. We will now be moving on to the what we've been playing fields. And what have we been playing this week, Keith?
No, not been playing this week.
Not been playing this week?
No, I've been busy at work, you know.
Just too much football on, I think.
Hang on. I'm going to edit this bit out, but has someone just posted up the Vita video for the third time on Mortal Kombat? Oh no, it's different again.
Different every time, mate.
Oh jeez. But they always have the same. It's always the same thing. It's always Katana on a roof because they keep.
Yeah. Oh, that thing.
They did a short one. They did a long one. I've done her with another one. So they basically they filmed this big long one and they've just done it different. I don't know. It's a girl without many clothes with a big sword. I mean, people are going to watch it, aren't they? What? Okay, they're not going to.
Well, I'm watching it right now.
Exactly.
I prefer the one in the red.
Yeah, she doesn't work out well for her.
Really? I haven't seen the end yet. Why are you spoiling it for me?
Oh.
Wow, look at that. She's quite nice.
Yeah, she's a model, Will. That's right.
Never mind that. I've never held that against any of the ladies I've been up with. Yeah. So anyway, going back to the non-edited part of the podcast. Oh, it doesn't, does it? She gets quite hurt.
Often... Is that normally the conclusion of your dates as well?
Blimey. It's not nice. She goes right into her skull. Anyway, so yes. Where were we? Yes, we are in what we've been playing. And Keith has been playing...
Nothing.
Oh, okay. So, John.
I'm waiting for Scarface. He's not that loaded yet. So I played a bit more of one I actually played last week, which was Kingdom Age, which is the game, which is the kind of the third game from Funzio, which is a like a free-to-play. They're a free-to-play American company who are kind of more kind of hardcore kind of guys. So I was a bit dismissive about it last week. I mean, graphically, it's a bit weak, I think. I've been playing it a bit more, and it kind of like all these games, it kind of they are good at kind of dragging you in. I've not spent any money yet, but I'd say the best bit about it is that the social stuff's pretty good. So you spend it basically has three different elements. So you have like a city building, castle building thing. You have like a action RPG thing where you're just a little character going around the screen, effectively tapping on orcs to kill them, but doing missions. And then there's quite a lot of PvP. So I was getting a bit into that, and then I played. It's equivalent of a KRPG, but it's not. It's from a Korean company. It's from Gameville, and it's called Last War. And they did the thing that all these companies do, which is they sort of kind of an action strategy game, and it's all about kind of the World War II and ships and blah blah blah. And I thought, oh, interesting, I'll give that a quick go. All menus, and the only pictures are of kind of weapons, but apart from for some reason there's an incredibly attractive woman in uniform who like tells you what to do. But literally, I played it for like half an hour and didn't have a clue what I was doing. It was just absolutely staggeringly, mind-bendingly. What am I doing here? I don't know how anyone plays those games. I wouldn't recommend it.
Do you know what I've been not playing this week? Because mainly I've been playing a few weeks ago. But I can't remember what I said last week that I've been playing. I don't think I said anything. So
no one was listening.
No one was listening anyway. It was like, can you hear a tree fall in the woods? No one's around. Anyway.
There was another one played. Quickly, Got Cow, which is, we've discussed it before, is like a was this poor developer worked on it for like a year in his spare time, and it was kind of like, oh, you're kind of like it's a gravity based game in space, and then the week before he released it, Angry Birds came out. Angry Birds Space came out. But Got Cow ? Is it's different to Angry Birds Space. I wouldn't say it's better or worse, but it's very cute, and if you like Angry Birds Space, it might be worth checking out for 99 cents.
What I've been playing is A Bard's Tale, and not the most recent released last year. no, the iOS version. The PS1, was it? PS1 version was released in...
Many years ago.
2004, around then. Maybe even earlier. No, I don't think it was earlier than that, actually. And the original Bard's Tale game, which is included as a free bonus of the iOS version, was released back in like 1986, 1985. It's very early. It was a Spectrum game, if I remember as well. It's also horrible. It's really hard to play the original Bard's Tale games, even though that you get a virtual keyboard and it's 3D as far as 3D goes for that era, which is sort of step by step 3D, not real 3D. And it's impossible because it's incredibly unfair. But then again, that's not the main purpose of the app. The main purpose of the app is that you get Bard's Tale remake, reimagining, I'd call it more than anything, which is a proper 3D slashy action RPG. It's got a slightly cynical humor running through it, cynical streak where it basically takes the piss out of RPG conventions. So
that was always the main thing of the game, wasn't it? Of Bard's Tale.
Yeah, I know, but you don't get that from the original Bard's Tale because I spent about 20 minutes creating my party and re-rolling the dice and naming them all, and then I left the tavern and I got killed by the first enemies I met. All of my people died because they weren't strong enough. So I then made a new party, walked outside, and they got killed again. It was kind of like, what's going on? Why? And then I tried running away. I decided running away from battles was the ideal way to go, and I couldn't run away. I just kept being hit until about three of my people died, and then I could finally run away. So it was kind of like, well, there's no point now because everyone's dead. Anyway, that's about the old Bard's Tale. But yes, the new one, apparently all the old Bard's Tales are meant to be very funny, and I got killed when I left the tavern. But yeah, the new one's sort of funny. It's quite amusing in places. So you start off the game and like you deliberately create a little rat to get some free food out of a barmaid who you spend most of the time staring at her breasts because the camera keeps dropping down. And then she says like, you know, clear out my cellar with rats. So he goes down and finds out that it's actually a massive, massive rat. And of course, he runs away and it's going, ha ha ha. And then it's all a big joke because he actually knew that he was a bit of a coward and, you know, ha ha ha. But yeah, it sort of goes on like that. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of, I played it for about 3 hours. So it's not that bad at all. And I mean, it's cheap. And if you're after a little action RPG, plus two impossibly hard Spectrum / early EGA PC games, then you get, it comes for free. They're not in-app purchases, so that's great news for retro fans. Yeah, it's not amazing. It's not the best RPG in the world, but it's perfectly playable. It's got some good moments. It's quite fun in places. It's a little bit repetitive. It's not the most original of RPGs, and some of the jokes are labored to the point where you're just sitting there thinking, oh, come on. But yeah, it's not too bad. I didn't mind it. It's reasonably good if you're an RPG fan. You haven't had a chance to pick it out yet. And also, it's being updated soon with Bard's Tale 3, which is the third of the old games. So see, if you're a retro fan, I mean, you get essentially three old RPGs for free, so certainly it's worth the money. But yeah, James.
Me, right. Well, I've been, the two ones I've been playing this week, one slightly more recent than the other. First one, the good one, is Edge, which is that block cube puzzler number. Kind of an isometric, you have to navigate a maze. You are a block, you control it by just swiping over there.
Is this the game that that Mr. What's-His-Face made? Or is it the game that the other people nicked? Moby game. They stole this idea.
Yeah.
This is the one that Moby game made.
They're so similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I hear Bobby Baring, I think to myself, that's Edge. That sounds just like Edge.
Whenever you hear that, you do think Edge now, don't you? You do. So it's kind of like a reverse psychology thing.
He's done it through the lawsuit. Yes. But Edge magazine give it a very good review. Edge magazine say Edge is very good, despite what that bloke who talks about Edge says.
Confusing, isn't it?
Very confusing. Anyway, the game's good. playing it on the iPhone versions.
I think I'm the only person who doesn't like Edge. You know.
It's all right. It's quite good.
Bad about it.
You don't like any of the games I like.
It's not amazing. It's quite good, though. I can see the value in it.
I can't see the value. I found it really boring.
But I think it's one of those games where if it didn't have all that lawsuit stuff about it, then I think it would be kind of sit in its right space. But I think because everyone was like defending it against this kind of evil man, it kind of gained a higher status than it otherwise would have done.
Yeah, the timing was good as well, though. I mean, it's really quite old now. At the time it came out, it did look very different to everything else. On iOS, and that's not so much the case now. Well, apart from, you know, Bobby Baring, it looks obviously very similar to that.
No, it does have a very strong look to it. It gets quite tough later on, which is sort of nice. You have to be very, very specific, very, very sensitive with the control, you know, the swiping, because it can very easily topple over and off. But it has a very nice look. The camera moves about in a sensible way, and I don't know. Yeah, the further you get through, it's a good deal more challenging. Like later on than some of them, so you can get a lot more time out of it. And I approve of the look as well. It does look nice, the clean lines and the, you know, occasional luminous bits, but mostly it's greys and whites. It's got that nice utilitarian thing going on. A good little time sink. So that's the good one I've been enjoying. The not quite so good one is Mass Effect Infiltrator. Which I very, very much wanted to like, because I very, very much like Mass Effect. You know, the whole RPG thing and the big story and everything. And then you go and get Mass Effect Infiltrator, and there isn't really any RPG or story thing. It's just lots and lots and lots and lots of repetitive shooting, which is not the strongest bit of Mass Effect. The strongest bit of Mass Effect is not the third-person, you know, combat. The strongest bit of it is that woven into the story and the overarching, you know, narrative and the characters and all that kind of stuff. Whereas this is pretty much, they've got the guy from the voice actor from the original Deus Ex giving it another one man against all the odds kind of character doing that standard line. It looks very nice. It's very good looking. It's the Iron Monkey Studios, the same guys who did the Dead Space, which was very good game. But this the controls, I know they released it with that kind of tap control system where you point to aim, and it was really iffy. It wasn't very it's still in the game now, but it was iffy enough that people complained and a lot of the reviewers criticized it. And they then released an update to change that and give you kind of the floating, dual thumb controls for aiming, which doesn't really help matters, to be honest. If anything, it makes it tougher. And it's sort of very, very, very good looking, but incredibly repetitive and kind of dull. And I speak as someone who genuinely likes it and I had, plenty of goodwill going towards it, but no, I got about sort of hour in and was like, ugh. Went back to playing Edge.
I'm going to go to my therapist and everyone else is going to go back to their hovels. I will speak to you guys later. That includes you listeners. I got a beef to pick with you. And
a
we will
got a beef to pick with them.
Yeah, a beef.
You just, beef and avocado.
You sound a lot like some of the scheming I've met. anyway, we'll be back next week with more fun stuff. We hope you join us for that. Have a nice night. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Fun stuff.